Hello and welcome back to the Dive and Dig podcast. My name is Professor Lucy Blue and this week we're going down south to the cold Antarctic waters. My interviewee is not an archaeologist but a professor in solid mechanics, Professor Jukka Tukkari from the University of Aalto, Helsinki in Finland. In 2022, Professor Tukkari was invited to join the Endurance 2020 expedition to the Antarctic, funded by the Falklands Maritime Heritage Trust. This was to be the beginning of an unexpected adventure, where Professor Tukkari was to reveal the true story of how Ernest Shackleton's ship, the Endurance, sank. This is me talking to Professor Tukkari.
Officially, I'm professor in solid mechanics.
Ah, okay.
It's solid mechanics is about how things break. So my research topic is ice. How ice breaks, how ice does all kinds of things. And with an engineering twist, kind of. So if when I'm interested in ice, I'm also interested in kind of the effects of ice on ships or offshore wind farms.
Well, that's really fascinating. So how did you end up being lured into looking at historical ships, let's say? How was that invitation extended to you? How did you end up working with the Endurance?
It is by accident in the sense that when the Endurance 22 expedition was kind of forming, the Falklands Maritime Heritage Trust, who organized the expedition, so they chartered South African Antarctic research ship SA Agulhas II, which happens to be built in Finland. And when it was built 2012, our research group installed instruments in it. So our measurement instruments are in the ship. And so I kind of, from the foundation point of view, I came with the ship in a sense. So I was doing my sea ice research on the side, as the when kind of the other part of the expedition were looking for the wreck. So I didn't have any role in the search of the wreck. This came kind of later. Then I was writing a blog in my mother tongue Finnish from the expedition, and the blog became really popular in Finland. And then many people told me that now you need to write a book. And I did. I wrote a kind of narrative nonfiction book on this expedition, on Shackleton and Endurance and our expedition and about my research. It came out a year ago. And while doing research for that book, I started thinking, why did Endurance sink? And that's kind of how this paper then became. So all this happened after the expedition. But I guess it's fair and honest to say that I was being there with the expedition, then kind of lured me, or what would be the right word, kind of lured me into this story, and then like that was 22, then 23 and 24. I was in the archives.
That's fascinating. I had no idea about the book, and apologies for that. But what a lovely route to take, though, to sort of combine that, I don't know, serendipitous, a possibility to be there, which makes sense because these ships are not cheap to run. So you may as well get on board and do your research when you can. If somebody else is paying, even better. But were you actually there when they discovered the wreck?
I was standing above the wreck when it was discovered, and of course then I didn't know. I was on the ice taking samples, because that's what I do. I was measuring the forces to the ship, the response of the ship, and then I went, I think, 16 times on the ice to get, I have a coring device, so I took samples from the ice and I analyzed, then I kind of characterized the ice, and I was standing above the wreck and taking samples from the ice, and I didn't know then that this underwater robot was 3 kilometers below me doing fascinating observations. So I learned that same day, of course, but then in the evening.
Wow, that's pretty cool.
Yes, I was definitely there, but I just didn't know it then.
You were just 3 kilometres above Shackleton's vessel. That's amazing. So did you see the images that evening?
Yeah.
And, go on, it must have been incredible.
It was incredible, of course. The images are wonderful, and yes. And, yeah.
Yeah.
Definitely.
Oh, I mean, as a maritime archaeologist, I mean, I think for anybody, but particularly for somebody with, you know, my own research interests, it must be a really special moment. But so did you think at that point about, I mean, because you talk about how the whole story of your involvement with really analysing the way or the reasons that the ship went down happened, you know, later. Did you not think at that point, you know, perhaps these cores that you're taking and the tests that you're doing would actually help understand why she ended up in the position that she did in what appears to be a much more intact version than most, you know, that historically we've sort of believed?
My original idea, so my answer is yes, but my original idea was that I was, for a long time, I was trying to find the explanation from the ice. I was hoping to find some kind of way to explain the crushing of Endurance from the ice point of view. So kind of I was reading diaries of Endurance, Shackleton's crew members. I was reading the diaries, especially the diaries of the scientists, and trying to find out was there kind of specific ice conditions to explain this. But that never went anywhere. I didn't find any peculiar ice conditions. And then gradually then, as scientists do, I mean, that gradually I understood that I need to turn my focus from the ice to the ship. Of course, it's a trivial question that it's either the ice, which was kind of enormous pressures, no structure can withstand those, or it's the structure that was not strong enough. That's trivial, that it's either or. But I was for a long time I was just looking at the ice. I was interested on that because of my background. But then I needed that at some stage I needed to kind of admit myself that the ice conditions were normal. There was nothing special in the ice conditions. So the reason must be in the ship. And then when I told myself that, then kind of things started to fall into kind of in the correct places. And then there was this kind of definitive moment when I started reading the book by Wilhelm Filchner, this German scientist whose ship Deutschland had been on the same sea area just before Endurance. It came back intact. But when I read from his book that Deutschland was strengthened for those ice conditions following the advice of Shackleton, and I saw the drawings of this German ship in his book, and then I thought that okay, because to me it made immediately sense how it was strengthened for the Weddell Sea, but that was news to me that it was kind of that was done following the recommendation by Shackleton, and so then I understood that I'm into something here.
So the recommendation by Shackleton was after he'd returned,
no,
presumably.
No,
it was before. No. But this is what's really interesting, though, because from the little research I've done, which is obviously completely minor in comparison to you, he had an understanding that the ship he was about to take, the Endurance, to the Antarctic was potentially not strong enough to endure the sea ice. So Was that the reality? He's advising other people to build their ship stronger, and yet his ship isn't strong enough in theory.
Exactly. and then that is what happened. And then he wrote to his wife before going to the Weddell Sea, late 1914, that this ship is not as strong as Nimrod, which was Shackleton's earlier ship, and that letter then that it's in the archives in Cambridge, and that letter is I don't know if that is the smoking gun or what is, but these two things, I mean, that he advised Filchner, and that is recorded in Filchner's book, and also then that he wrote this letter to his wife, to me is absolutely clear that he knew that his ship was not as strong as other ships that were kind of designed for those compressive conditions. Endurance was never designed for those conditions.
Okay, I'm talking to a professor of solid mechanics, and I'm really interested to know why you think this is a completely a social, personal question, but why did he make that decision? Did he have no choice about which ship he... Was he too anxious? I mean, having done a little bit of research, very tangentially, in the Arctic, there's something that drives people to get there sooner or to do things first. And his motive was trying to cross the Antarctic, as I understand. But do you think that was, I've got to do it now, otherwise somebody else is going to get there before me? Or having done all this research, have you got into the head of Shackleton a little bit?
Yes, maybe, but I still, before I say anything else, I want to underline that the research I've done is forensic structural analysis. That's what I've done. So I, as a scientist, I have not studied Shackleton's motives, but I've studied this subject a lot, and my understanding is kind of that was his style. So he decided first to go, and then he did his best, and maybe Endurance was the best ship available at the time by his judgment. Maybe it was something he could afford, suitable for the time frame he had. So that is what I think, and also that was kind of his style. If I was to do something like that, I would do a few years of preparations. But people like me who then kind of want to be 100% sure that everything is fine, sometimes my kind of people never go. But Shackleton was a different kind of person, I guess. He decided first to go and then solved all the problems. And we also know now afterwards that he was brilliant in solving problems. I mean, he got all the Endurance crew back home alive. So things went wrong, but still he managed to handle the situation. So he trusted himself, but I guess we will never, unless we find some letters, but I guess we will never know exactly why he decided to go.
Okay, so let's return to your speciality. Or your new speciality, maybe, because obviously the construction of the ship is not necessarily. So what, can you just sort of summarise for the listeners, you know, the processes that you went through and the discoveries that you made that sort of really have helped underpin a much more enhanced understanding of why the Endurance sank?
One thing I did was that I read the diaries of those men who were on board Endurance, and by reading those diaries with my professional understanding of sea ice and ships, it was obvious to me that there had been very serious situations with Endurance before. So when the pack ice is moving, it creates compression sometimes it opens and creates leads. So five times Endurance had been in bad compression during their time there. It was not a single event. To me, very clearly explained in the diaries. Then I was reading, I also, Shackleton's correspondence was there. I mean, the letter he sent to his wife that the Endurance is not as strong as Nimrod is very, very important source here. And then I made a very, very simple structural analysis, which is really, really a kind of simple in the sense that I do not come up with any really numbers on the ice load and how strong Endurance was, but I compare Endurance to other ships of its time. I'm comparing kind of the dimensions of structural members and kind of the whole kind of the ship structure, how it compares with other ships of that time. And then from these kind of sources, then I built up this story that Endurance was not the strongest ship of its time, as the legend says, and it did not sink because of rudder, as the legend says. So neither of these parts of the legend are true.
And did you base that on... I mean, actually, I have to admit, I don't know how old the Endurance was at this point, but obviously we know that ships, you know, their plans and their original builds, they get repaired, things change. What did you base that analysis of the ship's sort of integrity on the original plans, or did you know of any...
Endurance was brand new when it sailed. Mm-hmm. It was brand new. It was built for big game hunting in the Arctic. It was designed as a tourist vessel to take rich tourists to the Arctic and shoot polar bears.
You're joking.
No.
I had no idea about that.
No.
When you said big game, I thought you were using some sort of, you know, and that... Seriously, they were out there shooting polar bears at the beginning of the 20th
was the plan.
Century.
It never happened. So the ship was brand new when Shackleton bought it.
Okay.
And the drawings are in Norway, in a museum in Norway. Mm. And beautifully digitalized. So there's not even a need to go to the museum. So we can all look at the original drawings from home.
Mm. So do you think then that he... Because I've looked at the so-called route, well, I presume it is the actual route that the ship took. And as I understand it, the objective was to try and cross the Antarctic. So was it then maybe more a decision about the route that was taken or the timing of the route? Because obviously the ice is more intense at, you know, obviously certain times of year. Do you think that would have been part of why it encountered so many problems en route?
His goal was to reach the Antarctic coast on the Atlantic side, called Wachsell Bay, at the kind of route of the eastern side route of the Antarctic Peninsula. But that did not happen, but Endurance got stuck in ice 100 miles before, and then it started moving with the ice.
Yeah, it's fascinating, isn't it? And the other thing that's really interesting, I think, is just that whole idea that you as a scientist, an ice scientist, are out on the 2022 expedition, and yet you're also looking at the archives and the stories of the scientists from, you know, 100 years earlier. And I'm just intrigued to know what you learned about their science or about the way they approach science compared to the approaches and methodologies that you adopt today.
It had helped me to kind of create an almost emotional contact to the few scientists that were on Endurance. They were looking at the ice around them. I think mentally, the scientists were doing very well when they were stuck in Endurance, because the scientists had something to do. They had other plans. They wanted to study the geology of the Antarctic continent, and when that was not possible, or magnetism but when that was not possible, they turned their view to the sea ice and they started studying the sea ice. And that has been really, as I said, even emotional, reading their diaries on how they described the ice, looking at the drawings they were making to their notebooks. Similar ones that I'm drawing into my notebooks. And that has been really, really nice, creating that kind of connection. And of course I have my scientist viewpoint, but I think we scientists are in fact very much connecting these two expeditions, the Endurance expedition, Endurance 22 expedition. In both expeditions, they had some goals, either getting crossing the Antarctic continent or finding the wreck. And then with that kind of, then there are scientists doing their own work. I mean, and that I find very nice to kind of think that that's kind of the generations of scientists, how it continues and how we do things.
It's really interesting because it's almost like you've come full circle.
Mm.
You know, because they were the scientists on an expedition that had different goals in the same way in a, you know, that you were, I guess, when you first joined the 2022 expedition. So it's really fascinating. And I'm really, really loving this connection between, you know, really the human story behind not just Shackleton, but the scientists and the way that you use the archives and their investigation to help understand, you know, your scientific challenges. It's been a little bit of a journey that I hadn't anticipated and I've really enjoyed it, but I'm just wondering if I should have asked you something more technical and more scientific that I've overlooked.
No, I don't think so. Yeah, people people can read the paper
in the article. Record. Exactly.
It's not complicated. I wrote it intentionally so that it would be understandable for. There are a few equations, but if you don't like them, you can skip it.
Brilliant. Oh, well, thank you so much. I really, really appreciate you. And I appreciate you're really busy and just finding this time and dealing with the technology and all the rest of it. And I've so enjoyed talking to you. It's been a real pleasure. Well, that was just magical. That interview really took me down a road that I wasn't anticipating. And I really enjoyed talking to the professor. I would very much encourage you to have a look at his paper entitled Why Did Endurance Sink? Of course it's entitled that. Published in Polar Record by Cambridge University Press. I really hope you enjoyed listening to this as much as I enjoyed doing the interview, and I hope you'll tune in again next month to listen to the Dive and Dig podcast, brought to you by the Honor Frost Foundation, a charity that supports development and research of maritime archaeology in the Eastern Mediterranean.